You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
Welcome to another edition of Swoop's World right here on the new Talk Story Radio Network. Swoop's World, where you get all you need to know about arts, culture, news, and happenings. Our number, if you want to give us a call tonight, is 562-912-3444. You can always email us at swoopsworld@gmail.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. Once again, if you want to give us a call, that number is 562-912-3444. Now just sit back and enjoy another edition of Swoop's World on the new Talk Story Radio Network. And welcome to another edition of Swoop's World Prime Time on a Thursday afternoon. How's it going, Peter?
It's going all right.
Our guest today is Josh D'Amigo. How you doing, Josh?
So good.
Glad to have you, man. We're looking forward to getting to talk to him. And he's a busy man. You just drove up from San Diego and headed for Vegas, so should be a good time. How last night we had the Lost Hours here.
They were good. I was impressed. The singer was so petite. Bryn, right?
Bryn, yeah.
God, she could belt it out.
She could belt it out. I was a little surprised.
You heard her start singing, and you're like, how can you do that? You're so, they don't want to say small, because it's demeaning, but she's just a tiny person, you know? She could belt. I mean, she's just a beautiful voice.
Yeah, it was outstanding. And if you had any chance to listen to last night's show, it's in the archive. You can just find it right there on swoopsworld.com. Go to the post that says The Lost Hours, and that's where it is embedded. And that's also where each one of our archives go. You can also get them, download them for free from iTunes and a variety of other places where you happen to be. Stitchers, you know, what's this? Not iTunes. Yeah, iTunes and all kinds of other places. So check it out and you can always find us. Anyway, gosh, it's hot.
It is hot, man.
It's a warm day, man.
It's going to be humid. Getting more humid by the second. It feels like. We had to button up the studio to make it as soundproof as it gets. It also makes it as hot as it gets.
Yeah, it does, but you got the little cooler going, the little fan going, and you know, we're moving on up. Like the Jeffersons, shit.
That's right.
I'll tell you what. Let's take our first break and listen to a little ditty here by Josh. And I love this song too. It's good. It's called "If I Had a Dollar." And we'll come back and talk to him. You listen to Swoop's World on the Talk Story Radio Network, where we're always interactive, live, and archived. Back after this.
If I had a dollar, well, I'd spend it all on you. And I'd buy you all the things that you've grown accustomed to. 'Cause if I had a dollar, I'd waste every cent on you. But until I have a dollar, I hope my heart will do. If I had a quarter, well, I'd take you to the mall, let you try on all the dresses, look so pretty in them all. If I had a quarter, I'd waste every cent on you. Until I have a quarter, well, I hope my heart will do. And I hope my heart will do. It's all I have. I know it isn't much. not that big, but you're written on my soul. You're my every breath, so I hope my heart will tell. It's all I have. I wish I had an echo, put a big smile on your face, and I'd buy you tons of ice cream from your favorite place. Waste every drop on you until I have an echo. Well, I hope my heart will do. I hope my heart will do, 'cause it's all I have. Not that big, but so written on my soul. And you're my every breath, so I hope my heart will do, 'cause it's all I have.
I'm in the car next to you on the highway. I sit in front of you on the bus. I'm one out of every six Americans, and I'm struggling with hunger. This isn't an uncontrollable epidemic. There's enough food in this country to feed every hungry person. Please, visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for those around you, quietly struggling with hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Remember when your neighbor found us naked in the car, and the time some outdoor action got us kicked out of the park? Getting frisky in the dark, I gave your eye a poke. I think the dog is also in the bed. Do I smell smoke, you and me? We never ever give up.
You didn't give up on sex. Don't give up on birth control either. There are more methods than you think. Visit Bedsider.org to compare all the choices. Brought to you by Bedsider and the Ad Council. Bedsider.org.
You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
Hey, there's a sharp hole in the wall, and you're listening to Swirl.
And welcome back to Swoosh Row Primetime, and our guest today is Josh D'Amigo. How are you doing, Josh?
So warm. No, it's good. I'm good, man. This is cool.
It's we're glad to have you on the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and how you got started in music.
All right. Well, I'm from San Diego. I live there now, and I guess I've been playing there for about 6 years. I started music because I played college soccer, tore my ACL, MCL, meniscus, and decided that wasn't for me anymore. So I sat on a couch for about a month straight and just started writing songs. A couple weeks later, someone said, you should go to an open mic. I said, well, what's an open mic? So I showed up with stats, and then I just started watching people. I was terribly stage fright. I just didn't like it. So I watched the people perform. I took notes like a good student. And then after a few weeks, I got up on stage, and a couple weeks later, I was playing regularly. So since then, I've been blessed to open for a lot of really cool bands, meet a lot of really cool people, and now we're at the point where we're releasing a new full-length album, and so it's, man, it's been, if I had to start over, I would not do it again, but it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun.
Good ride.
Did you know how to play the guitar before you messed up your...
A little bit.
I'm assuming you played...
Yeah.
Primarily the guitar.
I started piano as a kid. My mom had us all taking piano in first grade, and so I started piano, then I went to trumpet, then I went to tuba, and then somehow I picked up a guitar and just taught myself how to play. And I was writing songs almost immediately after, but it was just for fun. It really wasn't anything I took seriously. It was kind of just a break to, you know, not do homework. So
right.
That's how it ended up. So
yeah. Well, that's like Airborne Toxic Event. Toxic Airborne Event.
Yeah,
whatever
Airborne
that
Toxic
is.
Yeah, yeah.
The band I actually own one, a couple of their things. Anyway, listen to it. But I found out about that guy, like the guy who's like the main singer or player, one of them anyhow. He had something happen where he could not leave his house because something happened and his immune system got really depleted.
Right.
And so if he were to leave, yeah. So the doctor's like, you just have to stay in your house.
Yeah.
You cannot leave.
He was going crazy.
Got super, super depressed. Didn't know how to play any instruments.
Uh-huh.
Didn't write songs. But now he's listening to music all day and he's got to kill all that time and taught himself how to play the guitar.
Yeah.
And when he got better and was allowed to go back out again, he had a whole set of songs, found some friends, started a band.
That's how it works. My old producer locked himself in his room as like a 13-year-old and would just play guitar. Now he can just shred, but he's like, hey, don't ever lock yourself in your room for too long. This is not worth it.
That's right.
But
you get lost in there.
You know, and what happened was I played college soccer and I tore my ACL and it was during the World Cup.
Uh-huh.
And so I had to either sit there and watch the World Cup and be bitter that I wasn't going to be able to play soccer anymore or start writing songs. So I took the easy way out and started writing music. So it worked out for me.
Cool. Excellent. You know, when it comes to writing songs, I read a story about the song we just played, If I Had a Dollar. And I found that quite amusing. But you get inspirations from all places. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, this album was all about moving to L.A. For a girl, and then it not really working out. I mean, in the sense of, like, she broke up with me the day I got there. And so I kind of slept in my car for a few weeks figuring out what am I going to do next. So it's the highs and lows of that whole relationship and that journey of going from a San Diego accomplished singer-songwriter to going to L.A. where nobody cares that you're a singer-songwriter. And so it's all that stuff in the middle. Well, the story about If I Had a Dollar was there was a girl that I was talking to while I was in L.A., and she thought that I was hitting her up at night as a booty call. And I was like, whoa, come on, I'm way, way too slick for that. Like, you can't catch me with that one. But I said, sweetheart, if I had a dollar, I'd spend it all on you. And then I went, I gotta go. And I wrote the song, and I mean, it literally was like a 5-minute. It just came out, and it was done. And it was one of those songs where after you were done, you were just kind of like, well, that's a good song. And I played it the week after that at a really loud bar, and all of a sudden the whole place just went quiet. And it's one of those songs where for some reason there's something about it that makes a room just like swell. To that was the most awesome fan crash I've ever seen. That was awesome.
We got planes, we got trucks, now we got
need
fans.
To light something on fire.
Just exploded here in the studio.
I wish that you guys could have seen that. That was awesome.
I saw it all looked like slow motion. I was like, I could try to jump over there and catch it.
It was.
But I would probably then knock over all the stuff that's over here. Oh my god.
Oh well. It's gonna be warm.
Anyways, it's one of those songs that stops fans.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
You know, when you play you know, a lot of places, did the open mic stuff. What's it like when you're playing someplace where, like you said, it's a bar, it's loud, things are going on, and nobody's really paying attention?
Yeah.
You know, and but the flip side of that, then when you hit on a song where everything stops, I mean, oh, that brings a whole another amount of attention to you, right? Because you're playing, you're like, nobody's paying attention. Now everybody's paying attention.
My good friend of mine that's on the album, his name is Rob Dees, he's a rapper, and he did a song called Background Music. And we used to play that song in the middle of a loud bar, and it really is just talking trash about the people. And sometimes we would freestyle rap about the people at the show and just start making fun of people just to see if they notice. And usually they don't. There's a thing about at least San Diego or California, definitely in L.A., where people don't really respect live music as much as they do. You really have to find rooms that people really get it.
Yeah.
Lestat's is one in San Diego we talk about. It's a listening room. It's a place where people just show up just for the music. There's no grinders in the background. There's no bartenders. You don't have a certain amount of money you have to spend to get that seat.
Yeah.
It's just for the music. So, you know, it depends on the gig. I understand that some gigs, you know, they're just for the money. Man, we're going to pay you $300 to play covers for 3 hours. Well, okay. Well, I'm just going to sit there in my corner, and I'm not. It's not going to be the same type of show. But for me, if you get that attention from the crowd, I mean, that's really something special. So to be able to like inject yourself into this group full of, you know, Jersey Shore types that are fist bumping, and all of a sudden they're shoo, and you know, for a minute and a half they're a little bit deeper than usual. Yeah. That's a really cool feeling. So, you know, it comes and goes. That's, I guess, my favorite part of it is when someone goes, dude, this guy's really good. Sometimes they say the opposite. So I'm like, man, this guy's really whiny. So, you know, you give and take. Every show has a little different character and a little different life that you give to it and spin on it. And after you played long enough, you know how to, you know, decide, what am I going to play at this crowd? Are they going to dig that, or are they going to be like, okay, you don't play, you know, a song about gun control to a room full of, you know, lesbian, you know, people that are going to be like anti everything. So you just got to pick your battles and choose what you're going to talk to the right crowd. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's another thing. When we talked to a lot of musicians about booking rooms, booking gigs. Excuse me. And you know, there's a time in your career where you will play anywhere that will have you. And then there's you know, I hear people say, well, then you know what? I get to a point where, you know, I don't need to do that place because I don't feel like my music comes across.
Yeah.
So you have to learn about these places too. Mm-hmm. So as an independent artist, you wear a lot of hats.
That's right.
You got the business side, the booking side, the creative side. How difficult is it to find the right fit and still be able to go out and play a lot of different venues?
I think that's a great problem that a lot of people don't recognize. You really have to be so aware of everything. I mean, you really have to notice every 5 seconds. You have to be like, what's going on? What's happening here? What's going on there? A good room is going to allow you to, I mean, it's almost in slow motion. It's called like a peak experience. Larry Bird used to talk about it. It's when you just feel like everything is going right, whether you're playing basketball. You guys probably get it sometimes on the radio show when like you're vibing with somebody and it just goes, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, we just went through a whole hour and we just had a great talk. Same thing with music. Finding that place for me is really important. For me, you know, I can give you examples. Wits End Live in Venice is a great room where you can just play a song and everybody's just like, oh, so into it. And you find those places and this and that, but it's difficult because you're doing so many other things. I tell people I probably play about 2% of the time in my music career. You know, if I really thought about it, the truth is that this is a lot more work than a day job. I'm, like, hustling twice as hard as most people I know, but maybe that's part of the game for me. You know, I enjoy the challenge. I like, you know, the fact that I have to drive 9 hours between gigs, get to the gig to find out, oh, we closed down last week. We had a fire. Sorry we didn't let you know. And so what do you do then? Well, we're just going to have a show outside, which happened to me in New York a couple weeks ago.
No kidding.
So, I mean, it's just like you got to just go with... eventually you build up a resume and you build up enough shows that nothing really fazes you anymore. And I think that for me, it was just a matter of getting out of my own head, just being like, hey, you know what? Sound system's broken? Whatever. Unplug. Let's play this thing acoustic and just rock out. So, you know, for me, it took a long time, but I think I'm at the point now where I'm just like, whatever. I don't care. Let's just do a show. We're going to all have fun. I don't care if I have to do it myself. We're all going to have a good time. So
that's cool because, you know, a lot of things... especially people who are artists, no matter what the medium is, you kind of get that thing where it's very personal. And, you know, if somebody says they don't like it, you know, that's it, I'm done, you know, and you know, type of thing. Or if something goes wrong, it's like, this isn't... I've seen people just flip out because everything wasn't perfect that day. And, you know, you have to be able to persevere. You have to be able to go through it. And I can imagine driving, you know, 8-9 hours to find someplace boarded up.
Yeah, it's not fun. And it happens more often than you think. That was probably my third time that it happened. So, like, the first
time... You're not the first person to tell us that either.
Yeah, it happens a lot. I mean, like, you know, a venue... Like we were talking earlier about coffee shops before we came on the air, the best way to lose money, even worse than getting a coffee shop, is to open a venue, because your money is going everywhere. ASCAP, BMI, CSAC, the artist, you know, you're dishing out money before you get any in, and so it's, I mean, it's, to me, it's such a great honor when a venue like really promotes you and pushes you and really wants to make you part of their event at the place. So a good venue is always appreciated. And tonight I'm playing the House of Blues in Vegas, and that's a good venue.
Yeah.
So, you know, they got their stuff together. So it's a lot of fun to find the venues that really single you out and say, hey, we want you to come be a part of our venue and be part of our family. So that's a cool honor to be a part of that. So
excellent.
So you're a solo artist, but I'm guessing you play with others.
I do.
How's that work? You have a band, or do you
I have
guys,
a band.
How's that work?
Yeah, so usually it's acoustic. I run a Digitech loop station, so I do a lot of beatboxing, vocal harmonies, this and that. And so I've made it so I've got a bunch of different sets. I talk to bookers. I say it's like a la carte. If you want me to bring my full band, ooh, it's going to be expensive because we got to pay for this, you know, this part. So if I have my backing band, it's Josh D'Amigo and the Midnight Pound, which is sexual. My mom doesn't like it. So that's, you know, the full band, and we have a real cool vibe. It's kind of it's a lot more soul and jazz infused because I'm like the token white guy once I have the whole band there. But, you know, so I've got my band that backs me up, and they're a regular group of guys. Sometimes they can't make it, and it's me and a cello player. Sometimes it's me and a cajon player. But more often than not, you'll see me doing acoustic stuff because that's just the easiest. You buy a $250 pedal, you can do it all yourself. It's right. It's the cheapest way. And then you have no band drama. You just do it. So that's, I think, my normal element is to gravitate towards acoustic music to really get personable and bring the crowd in. It's like the teacher that gets quiet rather than getting louder. You know, if you just keep getting quieter and quieter, people are going to eventually go, oh dude, what that guy's singing up there, this I should probably shut up, you know. So that's my trick, that's my little
turn your damn phone off.
That's right That's funny.
It happened. Oh, I noticed. You write lyrics and music?
I do. And I'll tell you about the process. For me, it's super lame. I mean, I have the most lame process of songwriting you've ever heard. It's like a term paper. You get your main sentence, you know, your thesis statement, and then every line in the song goes back to that thesis statement. We just did If I Had a Dollar. Every line in that song goes back to the idea of if I had a dollar and, you know, what I would do with that $1. And then it goes down to a quarter, nickel.
Yeah.
And the truth is my songwriting process is really just a matter of rewriting and rewriting and rewriting. And I probably write 10 songs for every song I keep, because it's just a matter of just keep pushing and keep hitting it and keep hitting it. And I think that the best songs come to you real quick. I mean, I'm thinking of the Beatles. Yesterday, when he wrote that, it was a song that he wrote in his sleep. He woke up and he said, scrambled eggs, all I really want is scrambled eggs.
Yeah.
And they were like, where did that come from? And they look everywhere for it. My favorite artist is Sean Mullins, and his last song was Light You Up. And it was like, I just want to light you up. Wrote it in his sleep. And so then it's just a matter of finding that melody, refining it, and then just keep it going, because the more you work on a song, the better it is. I see a lot of artists that just write one song, and they're like, hey, this is my song. And it's like, hey, that could be a lot tighter. If you just tighten it up, get rid of a little bit of the fat. And so mine is literally just a term paper, first draft, second draft, third draft, final draft, turn it into the teacher, hopefully get an A. So I guess that comes from having a military father and a mother that was a elementary school principal. Those two things will make me... So, but at the same time, I think I've got a good... attitude, work ethic, slash comedy about myself. I know that I'm that guy that's going to overthink the song. So eventually I got to get out of it and just go, hey, do you like the song? You do? Cool. And then just move on. And then you just see where it goes. So
when did you notice, you know, a lot of people talk about, okay, I started doing this because it just seemed like it was fun to do and it's cool to do. And then it became a passion. And then some people say, well, you know, it's no longer a passion. It's more of a job. Have you gone through those types of phases? And where are you now?
It all depends on what day of the week it is. Today's a Thursday?
Yeah.
So I'm doing okay today. Thursdays are nice. It's funny because when you first start music, you're all excited, the buzz. You think that you're going to be a big star in a week. Everybody has the Elvis Presley effect, where they just think they're about to just drop an album and everyone's going to sell it. Then you get about a year in and all of your friends quit coming to your shows. And you go, man, what happened? Like, all of a sudden my draw went from 50 to 3. I don't get it. That's when the fans start coming out. That's when it starts becoming a business, I think. You've weeded out the chaff, the people that aren't really into your music, they just like you as a person. They stop, you know, coming to so many gigs. From there, that's when it really starts to get hard. I remember going through a time where I was playing gigs in full band gig, and one person would show up, and it was a sound guy, and he'd bounce. Like, halfway, he'd check the levels, and then I've played in so many empty clubs across California that you would not believe. And they've been great shows. And, you know, but it's kind of one of those things where you just keep pushing and keep pushing, and something eventually is going to happen right. At the point I'm at now, it is a job, but it's a job that I mean, what is that? You don't work a day in your life if you find a job you love.
Right.
For me, I'm at the point now where every morning I'm waking up, I'm emailing, I'm, you know, Facebooking, I'm doing something productive to move the career forward. And it's almost like clockwork. You know, it just kind of happens without me even thinking about it. I know that if I'm going to be on your guys' show, I'm going to need to tweet, I'm going to need to Instagram, I'm going to need to Facebook, I'm going to need to send out a email, I'm going to need to even update my MySpace, even though, you know, I'm the only one using it still. You know, it doesn't matter. You just got to keep pushing, and eventually someone's going to, you know, leech onto it, connect, and that's really what it is. At the end of the day, if you've, I feel like as a musician, if you've affected one person, then you've done your job. I mean, really, you might not even influence someone. You might influence someone to influence someone else. And so that's really the hope, I think, in what I do, is that somewhere along the way I may have influenced someone accidentally or on purpose that does something great. So.
Well, let's take another break. Let's listen to another one of your songs. We're going to listen to Don't Lose Hope. You want to tell us anything about that?
Don't Lose Hope is a story about a girl who had some issues. She basically was one of the kids that you see on Make-A-Wish Foundation. And she wrote me a letter saying, don't give up music, because I'm one of those guys that's always like, well, I'm going to give it up. If it wasn't for my fans emailing me and messaging me, and I mean, they raised all the money for this album, $13,000 is what they gave me to make this.
Is that like a Kickstarter project?
Yeah, two. So I mean, that really makes you really believe and gives you that stuff. But she said, Josh, please don't lose hope. Please keep doing this because you are my favorite artist. And I went down and I started writing the song, and it was Don't Lose Hope, and it's actually on my blog, the story about it. And it was rewritten and rewritten, and eventually it came out, and she now works for the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and they're all stoked on it over there, so I'm hoping that something happens with it. But Don't Lose Hope, I think, would be the title track and kind of the cement that fits all the tracks together. So you're listening to the, if you don't like this song, don't even buy the album.
Don't even bother. This is Don't Lose Hope. You're here on Swoop Show on the Fox Radio Radio Network with our guest Josh D'Amigo, and we'll be back after this.
Everyone has time when they have to face the fears, but they'd rather disappear. And the world can feel so cold, and no one seems to care that it's been a long year. There's something that keeps us strong, 'cause when all the light is gone, there's bound to be a better day right around the bend. And if you swing enough, you'll land a few punches. And if you try enough, you're bound to hit something. Maybe you're looking at a great big mountain. Maybe you're missing better things all around you. You'll never know if you don't keep trying. You'll never grow. Sometimes in your life, it's like you're walking by yourself, and no one stops to help. And no one even knows the pain within your heart, and you can't make it stop. But don't let it get you down, stay strong and hold your ground. You'll land a few punches. sing enough, you'll land a few punches. And if you try enough, you're bound to hear something. Maybe you're looking at a great big mountain. Maybe you're missing better things all around you. You'll never know if you don't keep trying. You'll never grow if you don't keep fighting.
Green light. Hey girl, school zone. I'm getting hungry. Car changing lanes. You want to meet me for pizza? Stop sign. Intersection clear. Yeah, street. Pizza sounds good. Ball in street? Girl in street!
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text. Stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Thanks for asking, but I'd rather not send you nude pictures. I'm camera shy. I already said no. Under my clothes, I'm a robot. My webcam is broken. I'm worried they'll get passed around school. I have a rash. I have nudophobia. I have lizard skin. I'm a vampire, so I don't show up in pictures anyways. Your badgering has really killed the mood.
When someone is pressuring you to do something you don't want to, how many ways can you say no before they get the message? Let us know at thatsnotcool.com. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Talk Story Radio.
This is Carrie Wade, and you're listening to Swoop's World.
Is it a constant spin? I ask as I begin to once again feel unsettled in my skin.
And welcome back to Swoop's World with our guest, Josh D'Amigo. How's it going, Josh?
Still good. Good, we got good, the fan good. Fixed. No more planes. Life is good at this second on the show.
You know, who are your musical influences?
Oh, man. So many. It gets more as you get further and further into music. When I first started, Sean Mullins was, like I talked about him earlier, was the first guy that I heard that song Lullaby really made me go, man, I really want to tell a story. And my first song that people really gravitated towards was called Pocket Change. And that song was almost a straight ripoff of his song. And as I get further and further down the line, I go, yeah, that really sounds like his song. I should probably write a better song.
But I'll pay royalties.
Right, exactly. Hey, here's a send him an email and a thank you note saying, hey, I ripped you off. I'm now making a career off of it. Jim Croce, when I was a kid, was the guy I listened to nonstop, and I've got one of his tracks on the album, and his son, AJ, is playing on the album with me on piano.
Oh,
so,
that's
I mean,
cool.
Like, that's cool to see that come full circle, but the guy that right now is really influencing me is someone you guys might know of. His name's Steve Pultz, San Diego singer-songwriter. He wrote You Were Meant For Me, that Jewel sang and made popular. He was in a band called the Rugburns, and that guy is literally a spaz. I mean, he goes up on stage and he just spazzes out and plays an acoustic guitar, loops, dances. He can make an entire room of like 600, 700 people feel like they're the only person in the room. And that is something that I think is very special when you've got a singer-songwriter that doesn't need effects or, you know, a full band behind him. He can just captivate a group of people just like that. So I'd say those are probably the three top: Sean Mullins, Jim Croce, Steve Pultz.
Very cool. When you just started, you know, doing your own performing and stuff like that, and getting up on stage, did you a lot of people, like, as you say, you're kind of hard on yourself, and you make multiple revisions. Did you get back and evaluate what you've done and figure out what you felt was worked and didn't work?
Every show, I mean, like. My band and I would go to this place called Rudford's in North Park that is like the worst food you've ever had. I mean, just you go there and we're always like, why are we coming here? What is this place? But it's been open since the 60s, and it's just a spot. And we would always go and we would go over everything in the show. Hey, how did you feel about this song? How did you feel about that song? I feel like that's a really huge thing to actually sit back and watch a performance. The hardest thing for me is to sit back and listen to a show. If I get a CD and put it in after the show and listen to it and hear back what I've done, it's literally like a just refining the whole refining process. You can't get better if you don't know where you're bad. But that also comes from being a sports guy. If you mess up in sports, what do? You run a lap. If you mess up really bad, you don't even get balls out during practice. You're just doing liners, and you know it's a conditioning day. Mm-hmm. And so I think that hard-nosed way of thinking has stuck with me. I mean, I played basketball, baseball, and soccer growing up. Every sport I was in, that's all I did. And so bringing that mentality to music makes it so that I'm much less sensitive than most songwriters. If someone goes, "Hey, dude, your song sucks," I'm like, "Yeah? Tell me how. How is it bad? How can I make it better?" And then they'll give their opinion, and usually they're absolutely wrong. And then you just go, "Okay, you're an idiot. Thanks for buying the CD." You know? So, I mean, really what you do is you just keep pushing and pushing, and you keep just comparing yourselves to the bigs. What is John Mayer doing that I'm not? Why is he what does his song have that one of mine doesn't? All right, well, let's get better. And so it's a little bit of being self-aware and seeing what's going on around you and learning to grow and not being offended when someone, you know, tries to help you. So, yeah.
Well, and I was going back, when people are giving you criticism, you have to know who you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? A fan who, you know, whatever, what's their bias? But always knowing that is incredibly helpful and kind of help you on your way. But again, sometimes they don't know what the hell they're
talking
about.
And sometimes you can meet someone. I mean, they haven't been playing 6 years at clubs. They don't know. I mean, a guy came up to me once and he was like, "Hey, you know, you started with the slow song and ended with the slow song. It was very effective, but you probably shouldn't do that." I'm like, "You just said it was very effective." Like, yeah, I shut everybody up and then brought them in and then went off, you know, on them. And, you know, then that was actually one of the things that Steve Poltz, who I talked about earlier, and Influence, he emailed me one day. Because I had gone into a radio programmer's office and given him my CD and then sat there and, like, watched him listen to it and take notes. And he brings it back and goes, "Hey, good job on the album. Sounds good. You don't have a single hit on there." And it's like, okay, well, cool. Well, that can hurt if you really care what he thinks. But at the same time, people don't come to my shows because, you know, I've got a radio single. They come because I grind and because I'm active with them and because they feel like they're a part of my music. And so knowing what your strong points are as opposed to your weak points is really a good way of making
it. Yeah, I mean, that's a perfect example. I mean, so there's a guy who has at least an informed opinion.
Yeah.
You don't have a hit on it. Well, was that your goal? If that was your goal, then, well, okay, you need to go back. If that wasn't your goal, then, all right, well, good. That wasn't what I was trying to achieve. Yeah. A good album, not a hit album. I mean, it's not necessarily a bad thing. I know, where those people are coming from.
It's also... It depends on what you consider. Now, you look at there's enough very, very successful musicians out there who've never had a hit. And there's people who, on a grand scale, take Jimmy Buffett. I think he's only had, one song in the top 10 ever or something like that, or two in the top 40. Sells out everywhere he goes. So if he were to give his CD to the same guy, you know, the guy would probably say, "Hey, you don't have a hit on here." Doesn't stop you from being successful.
No.
Doesn't stop you from doing what you enjoy.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Guy who, like, none of his albums sell, but he sells out stadiums.
Well, I read a book called Ignore Everybody by a guy named Hugh McLeod. And I would tell anybody to read it because I have a low attention span. ADD goes up the wazoo. I'm on something else. This guy wrote a book, 40 chapters, each of them are 2 pages long, and it's literally about just ignoring what anybody says and just doing your thing. And one of the things that he wrote in there that was the best thing I'd ever heard was, "Bob Dylan can't sing or play the guitar, but he's the best songwriter in the history of music." And it was just like, fair enough. And you know what? One person might not think it's a hit, but you never know.
Right.
I mean, look at, what's that song that's really popular now? Tonight. And it's got this, you know, hook, and it starts the song off, it's really slow, and then all of a sudden it goes into this beat, and then it goes back down, and it's like, you know, musical whiplash. But at the same time, it works. People are buying it. You know, who would have thought that Justin Bieber got told a million times, "No, there's no market for a 16-year-old singer." Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That kid is huge. So, in all honesty, nobody's opinion really matters. Just as long as you just keep pushing, you keep working. I mean, it doesn't matter. Even if you're terrible, someone's going to like it. So, it's just finding the people that like it.
You find people. I mean, I remember Don't Worry, Be Happy. I mean, it was a cappella.
Bobby McFerrin.
Biggest hit of the year, I think, that year.
Dude, so. still making money off of that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Steve Poltz wrote "You Were Meant for Me" with Jewel when they were on a surfing trip in Mexico. It flew out the window. He was like, "Oh, don't worry about it. It was a dumb song." Jewel cries and says, no, I want it, and until he turns around, goes and picks it back up off the side of the road. That dude is still making 6 cents every time it comes on. How many times do you hear that song a day? Yeah. You're just walking around and do-do-do-do-do. That's how it goes. You never know.
Exactly. Well, you know, the most important question we have for most musicians is chicks. You guys have to get people we know who started off like a music biz to meet women, man.
That's true. And without giving away all my game, the best thing you can do is get a purple teddy bear tattoo, because that will instantly make every girl want you. It's kind of what I do. You know, I guess it started that way. I remember, like, singing brought a lot of attention, but I was a sports guy, so I didn't really care about that. I'm kind of that guy that is kind of like, I'm a one woman kind of guy. Like, if I have a relationship going, everybody else kind of just has a blurry face. If I found out a girl has a boyfriend, she just instantly becomes unattractive. I'm just like not interested. But for me, you know, music's fun. It's a nice way to get girls, but I'm not a big fan of the whole like yes sir type of girl that like just like, oh, you're an artist that I absolutely love, I need to do everything you say. I'm actually really into the girls that hate my music. I'm like, oh, you don't like my music? We're going to get along just fine. This is going to work out. So, that's really, I guess for me, it's a little different than a lot of other guys. And plus, I mean, there's so many dirty girls that are into musicians. Like, I don't know what musician you were into last week. I don't know what he's got. I don't need that.
Actually, so, I do know who you were with last week, and I know.
And now it's not going to happen for sure.
We always laugh because we had a few guys. Well, you know, one of our friends that we talked about, Mark, good friend of the show, and he was talking about when his girlfriend when he met her the first time he met her, and then he wrote a song. He had a song written about her or for her the next day. I said, you guys are so smooth.
Yeah, I've definitely written a song that's gotten the girl a few times. And even actually the first song on the album is Make You Fall in Love With Me, which is, you know, kind of a cocky way of saying, hey, I just wrote you a song, you're about to fall in love with me. I heard a song by another artist, and he was on American Idol, and he was on tour, and the song was titled If I Was You, I'd Fall in Love With Me. And I was like, wait a minute, like, really? I don't know if I can go that far. But, you know, there's something about music. It's the leveling block. Yeah. I mean, it's not just with attractiveness. You put a guitar in front of a guy, and the girlfriends, like, automatically, like, start getting prettier and prettier. But it also, like, socially. I mean, look at celebrities. You can have a musician that's dumb as hell, but he can sing, and so all of a sudden he's got, you know, people care about his opinion on what is going on in world politics.
Anything that he's not qualified to talk about, somebody will listen to him.
He failed his junior year of high school, and now we want to know what he thinks about global peace and the economics in Greece, and we're all like,
somebody's trying to give him a Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah, well, really, it levels the playing field. Music is a magical thing that really gives everybody a chance, so it's cool.
You know, it's on a plane.
We'd like to thank Boeing right now for their support of the show. Thank you, Boeing, for dropping in like that.
You know, when we talk about songs and telling stories, but you know, some of the throughout your life, you can hear a song and say, oh my gosh, that's when I was living here or something like that. When you're the right, and I think those who listen to music truly appreciate that. But as a writer, you know, a lot of those, you have a lot of those stories too, because it would precipitate the song. Do you find yourself listening to songs that you've written a while back and gone, I remember why I wrote it, but it's not relevant that way anymore, and I need to make some changes to it?
Completely. I mean, there's so many stories, and I'll go on one with the first album. I wrote a song called Austin on the first album that was about the girl I was dating, and it was basically about her moving to become a flight attendant, and all the flight attendant schools are in Dallas-Fort Worth. Now, that's obviously way too many syllables for a song. Being a Californian, I don't care anything about east of Escondido, so I called it Austin. Well, a fan was like talking to me one day, and she's like, hey, I gotta tell you about your song Austin. That song makes me know that you and I are meant to be together, because it was singing to me. And I was like, no, it was about my girlfriend that was a flight attendant. You know, and stuff like that. And people always gravitate towards something, and it changes. There's a couple songs on this album, Hope, that I know no matter where I am, this is going to mean something to me. There's one about my brother who's got post-traumatic stress disorder from his time in Iraq. And in this song is basically, it's a really long story. He committed a violent gun crime when he thought he was having a flashback and he was on U.S. soil. And the song is called Never Gonna Let You Go. And it's really just this, I can remember the car ride to work the morning that he was turning himself in to serve some time, and the tears will come down my face in the middle of a show. There's a song called Crazy on my last album that is about my two best friends that got married, and I can still see them dancing in the back of the room every time I play the song. The reason I do music is not because of the hustle, not because of the chicks or the driving to, you know, exotic locations and playing a show that's sold out. It's because somewhere between the first minute of the song and the third minute of the song, somewhere in that 2 and 2.5 minute area, I completely forget everything about where I am. I completely go to that place where I was when I wrote the song. And I think that going there makes the song so much more meaningful. So I can put it into my voice. You can almost hear it like, whoa, he really is going to kill himself because a girl broke his heart tonight. Oh, someone give that guy a bowl of soup. You know, like, you know, but really, as soon as the song's done and people are clapping, you come out of that and then you go to the next one. Well, feel this with me, you know. And on this album, there's a song called Portland that I think is my favorite song on the record.
That's what we have queued up to go next?
Good. Well, that one was, this is really funny. My ex-girlfriend that I moved to L.A. for, that this whole album is about, texts me at random times during my career, whereas I win an AMA or IAMA International American Music Award. I didn't get any money off of it, so I didn't really pay much attention to it. But I posted it anyways on Facebook and said, hey, I won this award for my song. All of a sudden, after 6 months of not hearing from her, hey, I was just thinking about you today, I hope you're doing well. And I'm like, alright. Well, I go on tour and I'm in Portland and I get one of those texts. And I'm like, and her name is Do Not Answer on my phone. So I already know that this isn't going to be good. And she said, hey, what are you doing? And I'm looking at it like, well, I'm sitting here in Portland missing you. Oof. And all of a sudden the idea comes. I grab my guitar. I'm sitting in a venue in Portland, and I'm playing the song. And it ends up, the lyrics go, I'll be sitting here in Portland loving you. And I don't live in Portland. I visit and I like it. I'd be a statistic so quickly if I moved there. But the truth is that every time I write that song, I go back to a place where I'm lonely, I'm sad, and I really just need something or someone to pay attention to me. And no matter what she does, where she goes, I'm going to be loving her in Portland in that second of the time. She actually texted me yesterday. Picture me. I'll show you guys the text message. I haven't talked to her in over a year. And, you know, oh, you know, you're getting press, you're getting this and that, you're getting... And all of a sudden, this photo shows up of, hey, look at the sky, how blue it is. I was just thinking about you. And I'm like, really? Like, really? So she must have found out I was going to be on Swoop's World.
It must have been, man. Let's go and listen to Portland here. You listen to Swoop's World on the Talk Show Radio Network. We're here with Josh D'Amigo, and be back after this.
You can go ahead and leave. Don't have to worry about me. Go ahead and chase your dreams, and I hope they all come true. I'll be sitting here in Portland loving you. Go find a new boyfriend, dark green eyes and a sun-kissed hand. Go ahead and spread your wings, and may all your skies blue. I'll be sitting here in Portland loving you. And I'll keep on loving you like the first time that I saw you smile at me. And no matter what you do, you will always be the girl of all my dreams. So go and make the world spin how you want it to, realign all of the stars any way you choose, pull the universe's strings, be someone else's muse, and I'll be sitting here in Portland loving you. Dance with whomever you like. Invite them up and spend the night. Go ahead and give your heart to whoever you want to. And I'll be sitting here in Portland loving you. Go and make a house a home. Raise a couple kids on your own. Go ahead and live your life however you may choose. And I'll be sitting here in Portland loving you. And I'll keep on loving you like the first time that I saw you smile at me. And no matter what you do, you will always be the girl of my dreams. So go and make the world spin how you want it to, realign all of the stars in any way you choose, pull the universe's strings, be someone else's muse, and I'll be sitting here in Portland loving you. And if there's a day you find you're missing me, well, you can rest assured you know where I will be. Whether you're in France or down in Timbuktu, well, I'll be sitting here in Portland loving you.
Did you know that birthday parties help build confidence in kids?
Yeah. Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Oh, totally. Did you know that friendly kids have more friends?
Everybody knows that.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
This is OC singer-songwriter Justin Swallow, and you're listening to Swoop's World.
Crying on the floor, drinking whiskey from a glass, I was an awful mess. You called me on the phone, I was drunk off my ass, you made me get dressed.
Oh. And welcome back to Swoop's World on the Talk Story Radio Network. Our guest is Josh D'Amigo. Josh, is there anything that you want to talk about that we didn't have a chance to talk about yet?
I would like to sell a few albums. So if anybody wants to buy one, August 14th is when they go on sale on like CD Baby, my website. You can buy advanced copies if you like what you heard so far. Just shoot me an email. Find my website, joshdamigo.com, Facebook. I don't care. I will take any way you have. If you've got food stamps, I will use those. I don't want to eat your child's food. So if you have children, make them eat first. I am up for a San Diego Music Award. This is my third time going up, and I've won the first two. Music awards are nice, and getting people to vote is cool. It's not why you do music, but it does feel good to win. And I'm a little competitive, being the sports guy that I am. So if anybody wants to vote for me, San Diego Music Awards would be great. You don't have to live in San Diego. You can delete their junk mail. You can do whatever you want, but I would love to get that. Other than that, I've got shows all over.
Let's talk about real quick. You have a show tonight at the
Playing at the House of Blues in Las Vegas tonight. It's a free show. Anybody can come out. Mandalay Bay. Tomorrow I'm playing in Reno at a coffee house. It'll be a completely acoustic set. No microphones, no nothing. It'll be really cool. And then next week I'm playing in Chicago, Indianapolis, Milwaukee, Detroit, Fort Wayne, Indiana, all over. So it's a little Midwest tour. And in the next year I have 6 different tours that I'm going to be going on. So I'm going to hit somewhere in the U.S., probably not too far from you. And if I'm driving 15 hours to get to your city, you can drive 2 hours to meet me there. So,
that's right.
But I appreciate everyone that goes online and follows me on Twitter, and I'm very active. I talk to everybody. I invited you guys to get some Starbucks, even though you don't apparently pay attention to your DMs. But
my DMs get filled with these things that said, you know somebody's talking about you online.
They are, though. You need to click on all those links to make sure.
Exactly.
To make sure. Just trust me on this. You want to do that. So, get involved. I love meeting my listeners and meeting the people that are into finding new music, because they're so much more interesting than the people that have to be spoon-fed what they hear.
Right.
So I like building a community. I like meeting other artists. I like to tell people I'm the least pretentious musician they'll find, because I just don't care about status. I will walk up to John Mayer the same way I'll walk up to you. So I am so appreciative of you guys for having me on, and it means a lot to me that I feel like as you guys grow, I want to grow with you. I want to be a part of it. So thank you so much for letting me come in today. I appreciate that.
Thank you for coming on, and I really appreciate it. I really appreciate you. Because you went through some effort to get here today, and you got a whole lot of more driving to do, and we really appreciate that.
Cool. Yeah, it's not too bad. It's L.A. driving. There was a little traffic, but other than that, it was okay. I didn't have any, blasts going off in the background. I didn't have to dodge and weave or anything like that, so we were good. We were good.
Wasn't a scene out of Speed or anything.
No. I didn't have to go slower than 50 or the bus would blow up. It was fine.
Josh, it's a pleasure having you on the show, and all the best of luck to you. Keep doing what you're doing, because I love your music. I totally love your music, and hopefully we get a chance to come out and see you play sometime soon. Come on back anytime, man. Let us know you want to come back. You got something going on you want to promote or whatever, or just want to come hang. Just let us know, man.
Sounds good. Come watch the show. Come make fun of the artists that are talking. Be like, no, that's not right. That's not right, bro. No. Hey, you should. Yeah, tell. Critique them mid-song.
Well, yeah, that's going to about do it for us. You listen to Swoops World on the Talk Story Radio Network. Just let you know, next week, no prime time. We'll probably have late night, more than likely. But in 2 weeks, Swoops World Late Night, which is Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 11 p.m. Eastern Time. JR is our guest, singer, songwriter, musician. And in 2 weeks on prime time, the Rudies, a band out of the Midwest, I believe, will be calling in to the show. So definitely get a chance to check them out. Find Josh on Facebook, like his page, go to his website, and buy his music. Definitely buy his music. Support our indie artists, man. That's what we have. That's what we love. And until then, everybody have a safe, wonderful week. See you next time.
Have a good one.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.